to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. A couple important, really important studies out this week. And that's what we're going to talk about in this hour of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. This is very important because this is actually what we've talked about for a while, but there's more data on it. So the gene APOE4 is associated with about a 40% increase in Alzheimer's and dementia risk. So that's a very, if you will, high and bad thing to have. Well, it turns out we've always known, that is for about 5 years, that exercise decreases dementia risk and regrows neurons in the hippocampus, the key area of the memory center. Well, now we have some more data that shows, in fact, that what exercise is doing is, in those people who are heterozygous, that is, they have one active APOE4 and one inactive, those are the ones that develop the accelerated dementia at age, 65 to 85, rather than developing it at age 40, which is what you have with, you've got homozygous for APOE4. But the exercise actually activates that brain area, that APOE that you still have, and makes it much more active, and thus you get a tremendous benefit from exercise, any exercise, but this was aerobic that they studied, that does that. So exercise actually reverses the risk, the genetic risk of Alzheimer's disease, one of the very important studies this week. The other one that I think is probably the most important that I've seen this week is a very interesting study because it looks at mitochondrial DNA. Now, we don't talk much about the DNA that is in your mitochondria. Your mitochondria have only one set of DNA. That's from your mom in them. And the mitochondria are what produces energy. So the mitochondria look like little bacteria inside your cell, but they take in glucose and put out ATP. The rest of your cell uses ATP for energy. So this is adenosine triphosphate. You don't have to know the name. ATP is like, brum, it gives you energy. Well, it turns out that when your mitochondria DNA has decreased, and it decreases when you eat, for example, two big meals. So you eat just big meals that have high glucose. That glucose gets presented to your mitochondria, and it causes some free radical damage in the mitochondria, and that kills the mitochondria and decreases it. Well, it turns out if you've got a 9% decrease in mitochondrial DNA, you're much more likely to get frail. And if you're in the bottom quintile in this large study of mitochondrial DNA, you had a 50% increased risk of being frail. So being frail, not being able to walk and do activities of daily living, get off the toilet, etc., that's what people say, they lose their energy, they lack energy. Well, that's what happens when you don't have enough mitochondrial DNA, and that is the process that seems to occur. And maybe we're going to find new drugs and other things that will help you keep your mitochondria long. What do we know now to keep your mitochondrial DNA long? Small meals, a lot of healthy foods, but small meals, so all the food should be healthy food, but small meals, and especially a little exercise and stress management. So your mitochondrial DNA look like it's increased when you have better management of stress, look like it's increased with a little exercise, and that little exercise is also what turns on the APOE4 gene to decrease your risk of Alzheimer's disease when you're heterozygous for it, and that's a 30% increased risk of Alzheimer's disease, just went down the drain, meaning you decrease that risk totally when you do 30 minutes of aerobic exercise three times a week. So those are really important studies this week. Another important study, and I'm a little left saying, geez, this isn't really good enough. And this is one on that you're going to hear about low-carb and high-carb diets. Well, low-carb diets seem to be associated with less risk than high-carbohydrate diets. And we've always said, well, instead of having just high carbohydrates, that is sugar and added sugars and added syrups and 100% whole grain, they looked at good carbs, that is, the ones that were 100% whole grain and had low glycemic index. And they said, well, any carb is associated with an increased risk factor, that is an increased LDL for LDL cholesterol and a decrease in HDL. But those aren't the key things. What's really key is your inflammation and whether you get addicted to carbohydrates so that you're eating more and eating those bigger meals. So the key point on this article is, I think you've got to know, this is a short-term study. It looked only over a total of 5 weeks, and so it really is 5 weeks on the diet. So it really is what I would call inadequate to, and it doesn't, it looks at the risk factor of LDL and HDL. It doesn't look at whether you develop plaque in your arteries. It doesn't look at whether you develop coronary artery disease or stroke. It doesn't look at whether you develop impotence or other signs of memory problems, etc., or cancer, which are the big risks of the high-carb, high-sugar diet. So that's one of the studies that will be out today. By the way, that will be out and be talked about. Don't, in fact, be fooled by it. Another interesting study that we've learned because of Ebola. If you will, most of us in the United States are not prepared for infectious diseases. That is, if you look at things as well as how do we patrol for food safety, how do we handle infectious disease outbreaks, what are our vaccination rates, how prepared we are for emerging threats, the United States fails. On a scale of 1 to 10, half the states in Washington, D.C. score 5 or lower. And, in fact, the highest state received an 8. We aren't really well prepared. There have been a loss of 50,000 people involved in preparing for biologic diseases, such as, and in fact, preparing for biologic terrorism. 50,000 people working in preventive health in infectious disease, that's about 1,000 per state, have lost their jobs since 2008. I didn't realize there were that many, but apparently it takes a lot to prepare for disease outbreaks, and we have not been doing it in the United States. We're about to go to Gary Ginsberg, and Gary is going to have, Gary always has these great sessions on what's toxic and what's not, what's important for understanding the environment and your health. So he has, Gary Ginsberg has this session, the segment, What's Toxic, What's Not, and we're going to talk about, is incest toxic to you, and what is toxic, if you will, in the environment. We've got stories relating to plasticizers affecting male development, swimming pool as a sink for personal care chemicals, and fake shampoo as an endocrine threat in Ireland. We're going to talk to Gary about what these really mean and what it means for you. Should you be staying away if you're potentially pregnant from all possible plasticizers? I think the answer is going to be yes, but we'll have to talk to Gary and find out for sure. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Health Radio, Radio MD, I should say. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well. We'll be right back.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalief Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalief Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalief Oasis product and all the great Prevalief products at Prevalief.com. PrevaLeaf.com to stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalief.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.